everybody. Great to have you with us. It's something that Bill Worrell has said thousands of times, whether it be on Rockets broadcast, Astro broadcast, Southwest Conference football on HSE. I'm trying to think, what else have you done, Bill Worrell? Is there anything I'm missing on your distinguished resume?
Oh, I did polo once.
Okay. How was that?
But I can't... boring.
Well, you were being honest at least. Hey, you know, I always say this because it's funny. You're one of the voices of my childhood, and now as an adult, you're one of my voices of my adulthood. Before we get any more into that, I'm so happy that you're leaving on your terms. You're leaving with your fastball still in your pocket in terms of being able to call a game. You're going to be tremendously missed, and I hope that you have a fantastic night tonight. I don't know if the score is going to be very fun for you to call, but I think the people around you are going to have a great time. So what do you think about as you are now 6 hours away from your final NBA broadcast?
Oh, I don't know. I've just started thinking of a few things. You know, you and I have made a living talking about other people.
Yes. Mike Newland hates that, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't I'm not very comfortable talking about myself. And I think there are a lot of us play-by-play guys through the country I've talked to and experienced over the years. That's what they've told me too. So, you know, we're the guys asking the questions, trying to get the tough answers.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know if I can do it from the outside microphone.
Oh, you're going to have to. I heard you're in a Zoom call in a few hours, so you better be ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be ready. I think we're going to have an entertaining. I just saw the injury report for the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
And this could be a very. I want the Rockets to win my final game, and I think we've got a good shot at it tonight.
Yeah. I told my audience on the Lakers, I was doing the Lakers game on Wednesday, and I pride myself, and when you're a team broadcaster, as you have done for most of your career, you want to know the guys, and I know it's been tough for all of us not getting to know the players and the coaches. I get the chance, I'm down on the floor, so I have a little interaction with Steven, but really nothing from the players. But I was calling the Rockets-Lakers game, and I said to my partner on the radio broadcast, Adam Wexler, I said, I know the Lakers better than the Rockets because, my God, I have never been a part of a basketball team. Now, tonight, we're adding a 30th player. I just had Steven Silas on. This is, Bill, this is, for you to go out with this kind of team is incredulous. Not incredible, but incredulous.
Well, you remember the 14, well, you don't remember it, but I remember it well. The year before I started, actually it was during, I started with the Rockets in 1980. We were on Channel 20. And I remember trading Moses Malone so we would have a shot at Ralph Sampson. So right. That team in 82-83 won only 14 games.
Right.
In fact, Kobe's daddy played on that 82-83 team. Kobe was about 2.5, 3 years old when he was in Houston. So I do remember the 14-win team, but there's never been anything like this. You know, really, it changed for me when COVID came in. Remember last year how bad it was? I'm kind of old school. I like to go to practices. I like to talk to the players. I used to get little nuggets from talking to them and coaches. And we haven't been able to interview personally a player privately in 2 years. I haven't gotten to know any of these young guys.
Yeah.
Half the time, it's hard from where I sit. You know, when they first started out, to tell Tate from one of the other guys we had. And I just don't know any of these young guys. I haven't been able to meet them, and it just took all the fun out of it. And I said, man, maybe this is a good time for me to check out because this is about my. I came in as kind of like a brother to Rudy and Calvin. We were all the same age. Then there was a time in my career when they were young enough to be my sons. Now they're my grandsons. It's time. You know, it's time to move on.
I'm not going to age you under any circumstance. I want to go back to the early 80s. And I don't remember you on Channel 2. My first recollection of a sportscaster Channel 2 was Ron Franklin, who went on to a great career as well. But you get an opportunity after KPRC somebody must have called you and said, we're going to create this pay TV network, and we're going to call it Home Sports Entertainment. We're going to televise home games, because for the most part, back in that era of sports television, you only got road games. You didn't get all of them, whether it be the Astros or the Rockets. Tell me what that conversation was like and how you said, I'm going to leave the successful TV job at an NBC affiliate when there weren't 800 channels, and I'm going to go to this fledgling cable network and see if I can do play-by-play for a team that's going to actually televise home games when they thought at the time this might hurt attendance because people don't want to go to the games if they can watch them on television.
Well, it's a good point you make. In fact, that was the argument against it. I do remember when I left Channel 2, Ron Franklin came over and took my place. And when I went to HSE, everybody said it was a gamble. I remember a lot of people said that it wouldn't work out. A lot of people in the TV business, because ESPN was just starting at the same time, and they were going to try to do it nationally, and we were going to try to do it regionally. So what happened is that when we kicked off in 1983, we were the first ones to do it that way. Then we were able to move the franchise to Florida and all around the country. But, yeah, I remember Jack Stanfield, who is a dear friend of mine, and it was a former Houston Aero that played with Gordie Howe and his sons.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Dick Barron came up. They had a little cable channel in Pasadena, and they thought of the idea. They were able to sell it to Dr. McMullen, who had bought the Astros, because, remember, he lived in New Jersey, and he had no way to see our games unless he had that channel that would send him the games over the satellite. And Ray Patterson, who was a very forward-thinking guy and probably one of the most influential people in my career, who was the general manager, and he was just trying to – he was the president of the Rockets organization, and he was really the owner. He was just trying to keep it alive. It went from four guys who brought the team here from San Diego. So – he kept it alive, and he thought it would be a great idea because he was having trouble putting fannies in the seats anyway, even without television.
Right.
And so it started, and the first couple of years on HSE, Greg Lucas did the games. And I was in charge of getting the cable station, the sports department, up and running and greeting everybody and signing us on the air and all that stuff. So after I did a couple of years of Rockets on Channel 20 and Channel 39, then I went to HSE. Craig did them for a season, and then I came on board after that. So Craig was actually Greg was the one that went through the 14 win season. But we thought it would be a success, and I don't think even we dreamed it would be that big a success. It was such a success, by the way, Matt, that Dr. McMullen ended up selling the Astros for far less than he sold HSE.
Wow.
Yeah, he tripled his investment on HSE and sold, when they sold it to Fox.
And now it is, it's gone through multiple ownership changes. You've got splitting of networks. You now have these regional properties all over the country. And like I said,
that's
I remember
correct.
As a kid, Bill, when my mom and dad would tell me that we could spend the extra $8 a month to get HSE, I was the happiest kid in the world, because at that time in my life, if it wasn't for Channel 20 or for Channel 39, I wasn't watching any Astros or Rockets games.
Yeah, and what Patterson found out, too, is it actually put people in the seats.
Interesting. Yeah. This is an answer you probably don't have, but if you were to sit down, And I say this to people that ask me about this. Do you have a great game that you've called or a great call that you made? I said, look, I don't listen to myself. That's just not what I've done. Now, if I made a mistake or something, I need to correct it. I want to hear what I did to correct it. Is there a Bill Worrell definitive call that if you and I sat down and looked at old tapes of 20, 39, 51, HSE, Prime Sports, all the different networks you've worked for, CSN, AT&T, is there one game that you'd said, all right, that was the best of me?
Yeah, wow. I've actually been asked that before. I don't know if I have a favorite, except maybe it was when Akeem, the Rockets were not favored to beat San Antonio in the playoffs, and that was the year that the second year, the championship, that Akeem just completely dominated the MVP, which was the Admiral David Robinson.
Did you do the game in San Antonio when? Because I was there as a reporter. Were you? Was that? Yes. You were there when he got the trophy? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We did all that time. We did the first four games of the Western Conference Finals every year. We would take them all the way down the line until the finals. Now it's been where we only have the first round,
right?
Because of more television. But there was a couple of times when I couldn't even describe what Akeem was doing to poor David. I mean, it was just, I couldn't think of any other word. The only word that popped into my mind was bamboozled. And one time, David was jumping up and down like he was on a pogo stick, and Akeem went around the other side of the basket and stuffed it home. And I said, he's got David Robinson absolutely bamboozled. And I've heard that call now. I guess it's been 20 years, and they still play it, at least, you know, on NBA television and all over when you have highlights with a dream. So I guess that would be the one I still hear the most.
It fits, because again, that's the time when television lets the local broadcasters do the games, and it's sad that we lose it after the first round, but you know, that's what the big business is all about. Please have a great time tonight. More importantly, I want to see you more at TDECU Stadium. Looks like we're going to have more fans at all the different events. You'll get to go to more basketball games, maybe go to a baseball game once in a while, or just play golf 6 days a week. I don't care what you do. You deserve this downtime, and have a great, great career. And for all the kind words you have said to me and your encouragement over the years, I will be eternally grateful to you, my friend, for that. And so with that, I wish you nothing but the very, very best.
Well, Matt, you're a great guy and a very dear friend, and you've had a pretty darn good career yourself. I'm proud of you, too.
Well, thank you very much. Have a great time tonight. I won't see you because I'm in the red zone, but I'll be waving to you from a distance.
You got it, my man. I can't miss you.
Yeah, I'm the bald guy on the lower level. That's who I am.
Exactly.
See you, friend. All right, okay. Bill Worrell.